Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. Rise. On this Thanksgiving Eve, we follow the order of services found printed in the service bulletin. Recognizing all of our gifts, we recognize how unworthy we are because of our sin, so we begin with that confession. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From the conviction of our hearts, we confess together. Almighty God, merciful Father, we confess that we were conceived and born with sin, We further confess that we have, since birth, actively sinned against you by our thoughts, words, and actions. We are sorry for our countless sins, and we humble ourselves before your holy presence. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, and renew us by your Holy Spirit. God the Father has indeed declared you to be not guilty for Jesus' sake. By his command and according to his authority, I announce to you the divine decree that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God, Heavenly Father, through whose kindness we have again received the fruit of the earth in their season, grant us ever to rejoice in your mercy, that neither prosperity nor adversity may drive us from your presence. This we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our Psalm of the Day, Psalm 67, as printed on the bulletin insert. First scripture reading on this Thanksgiving Eve is found in Paul's first letter to Timothy, the second chapter, beginning there with the first verse. As you can guess, both of these readings will be directly tied to the giving of thanks. It isn't hard to see how they apply. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Please rise. Second reading is found in the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning there with the 11th verse. We want to be like the one who returns in this account of the 10 lepers that were healed. And we repent of all those times when we counted ourselves with the 9. On the way to Jerusalem, he, that is Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well."
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, peace, certainly three of God's richest blessings. May these be multiplied to each one of you in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Dear fellow recipients of God's unlimited generosity, human beings tend to fish for compliments and gratitude, don't they? They bait the hook with something that they've done, and then they dangle it in front of the recipient of their largesse. Everybody does it. I see you liked the meal. That's good, because it took me all day to make it. Insert compliment here. I mean, even guys are smart enough to figure that out. Oh, by the way, hon, I changed the oil in your car and turned off the service engine light. Insert compliment here. We learn to do this when we're little, don't we? Mommy, did you like the picture I drew for you? Yeah. Interestingly enough, we do that because we seem to be hardwired with some need to perceive or receive gratitude from others, compliments. There's something in us that seems to need that. We need to be appreciated. And it's interesting because in so many different things, areas, occupations, you can bear up, people bear up under tremendous strain and adversity and hardship if they perceive, if they receive one thing, gratitude. I once heard some teachers talking about this, and they're talking about, how can you guys keep going on like this? Because, I mean, if it's the kids that don't pay attention and they don't seem to be grateful, and then the parents come after you and they're on the kids' side now instead of the elders, how do you? And universally, I heard them say, if they express gratitude, if I feel that they are thankful for it, they put up with all this. Also, interestingly enough, God wants us to be grateful. God wants to see gratitude in us, but for a very different reason. God doesn't need it like we seem to need that. God, as in all things, wants it because He knows it's the right thing. He knows it's the right way we should be. It isn't, again, a deficiency in Him. It isn't like, oh, I want you to be grateful so I feel appreciated. This is right. I want to see thankfulness, says God, in my children just because it is another aspect of the right way to be. Which is probably why we find an interesting thing in God's Word. Look through, and it's been in every instance I've found. There may be some I haven't seen, but every time I see God calling for thankfulness, He always seems to add a why. In other words, be thankful, and here's why. If you caught it, if you're listening with that, you caught it in one of our readings for tonight. I want intercessions, prayers, thanksgivings be made for all people. Why? And then He explains. So that you may live peaceably, so that things may go well in your life. Our text for this evening is a perfect example of God giving us the why of thanksgiving. And we can take this from the Old Testament and apply it to ourselves. Our text for this evening is found in Deuteronomy 8, the first 10 verses. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. These are God's words. In themselves, our greatest gift, that our God would continue to work in our hearts through these words also this evening to teach us what he wants us to learn. So we pray. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. It's pretty hard to miss the why, isn't it? God wanted his people to be grateful, and then he gives them the why so clearly. He had just rescued them from 400 years of captivity in Egypt. And then you remember the first time he brought them to the edge of the promised land, they were like, oh, it's a great land, but the people are too strong. We can't do it. They failed to trust him. So God said, fine, except for those people that the spies that went in and Moses that said, it's a great land, the people are strong, and God will give it to us, it's great. Except for them, all the rest of the adults will die in the wilderness. And so he was also bringing them off a four-decade wandering in the wilderness. We can't. That sounds so much better in our ears than it really was. So with that background, he brings them to the edge of this promised land. And he wasn't giving them what they were used to, the wilderness, with man and quail every day. He pointed to that great difference. I'm bringing you into, and this just shouldn't be described as a new house. This is a furnished mansion. All the heavy lifting of taming the land had been done already for them. It was move-in ready. He says, look at this land. Everything, all that hard initial work that pioneers usually have to do, it's already been done. The olive groves and the grapevines are already growing. They're already there. The wine presses are already built. The fortifications, the walls, the houses, everything. So it was not only rich in potential, like minerals and water and good soil, everything else was already done. And you just have to move into it. It's yours. And start reaping the bounty that it's already producing. But there's another basic truth in our text that's so unusual. It should be obvious, but it's easy to miss. Our God here reminds his children to be thankful for and because of every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now think about that, because it's a bit jarring, isn't it? Because God commanded things of them, didn't he? Be careful. When you go into this land, obey my commandments. It's easy to be thankful for what somebody is doing for us or giving to us. But isn't it a bit odd to be thankful for what God is demanding of us? So how is it that God said, be thankful for the words that come from my mouth, and then it demanded something from them with those words? The reality is, good parents do this all the time. They have to do this. It's part of their job description. Grandparents, not so much. But parents have to do this. And it is the training out of their children what needs to be trained out, and training in what needs to be trained in. You probably heard this as a kid. You probably used it with your own children. Just do it. Someday you'll thank me for it. Yeah, I heard that a lot. I'm going to thank you someday, Mom, Dad, for having to take the garbage out and do the dishes and all the other stuff, make my bed. I can't see myself thanking you for that, but, and I do now. Because it taught me things. It taught me a worth ethic. It taught me to try to be neat or to marry a wife that's neat. They had to train out of me all those silly adolescent nonsense things that were already there. Because children aren't that way normally, are they? Parents have to make them do things because by nature children are absolutely self-centered. That has to be trained out of them. Children are ungrateful naturally. That has to be trained into them, gratitude. So many things that our God points out that as good parents who are supposed to bring up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, or use other words, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, require things. And that's when our parents give us the, you'll thank me someday for it. So it was with God in connection with the Jews. So it is with God in connection with us today. Do the things I told you to do. Just do them. Someday you'll thank me for it. You remember how we said God almost always gives a why when he talks about thankfulness? And he gives us the why. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. See, that good land that he was given to them, it wasn't taken from its previous inhabitants, its previous owners, because they were good, moral people. They were spiritually bankrupt. They were godless and immoral. And God said, enough. You don't get it anymore. God draws a line. He has a limit. And beyond it, he does not go. So he judged this people. Of all the places he could have sent Abraham, this was it. Why? Not because they were moral, upstanding, thankful people. Just the opposite. So God was telling the Jews, obey the commandments that I give you, because I want you not only to go in and possess this land, but keep it and thrive and live here forever. So there's love in that commandment. It wasn't that God was lacking, that God needed something. He wanted his people, his beloved chosen people, the Jews, to prosper. He gave them commandments because of what they needed. Clearly, the same loving warning then needs to be repeated to the citizens of our beloved republic, doesn't it? All of us share a common tendency toward evil, nor is that evil easily trained out of us. So God in this text gave the Jews this rare behind-the-curtain view of his parenting techniques as a heavenly father to these people. And you shall remember the whole way of the Lord your God, the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he gave them the why of everything that had happened in 40 years. This is why I did that. He goes on. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Then he concludes, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. God knew then, God knows now, that no matter how great no matter how seemingly permanent his blessings, rejection of God destroys it. It pushes it away. It makes you disqualified, and God will remove it. Man cannot turn against his Creator with impunity. God didn't want this for Israel. God doesn't want it for our nation. God doesn't want it for us. So he gives us his commandments, and he says, just do it. Someday you'll thank me for it. It's just here in our text is an odd thing. We're going to take a little different tack. And I'm going to do that by asking you this question that I heard some time back. The question is this: what if today you only received what you were thankful for yesterday? That's disturbing, isn't it, on a number of different levels? First, consider what our lives would be like if we didn't have what our text refers to as every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. When's the last time you were thankful for that? When's the last time you just thanked God for His Word? And yet without that Word of God, nothing in our life would have any purpose or meaning, because all of this will not survive the fires of Judgment Day. Or when we're carried through our last day, we brought nothing in, we're going to carry nothing out. So if we didn't have every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, for which we are routinely unthankful, dire picture indeed. In this, we're not unlike the 9 lepers that failed to return and glorify God. And this humbles us, or it ought to, because we see on the one hand how greatly God has blessed us, and then we have pointed out to us in so many different areas where we are not thankful, where we forget, where we take for granted. And that's part of what we do here, isn't it? Because just like children, these things have to be trained out of us. Gratitude and thanksgiving for all of God's blessings have to be trained into us. To look at the things that we take for granted. Our fellow congregants, our friends, family. Now, the world even says, oh yeah, Thanksgiving, spend it with your family and appreciate, be thankful. So yeah, we get that, but so many other things. The Word of God. People that set us straight instead of just telling us what we want to hear. True friends. Oh, we could spend days, weeks trying to go through the list, but you get the point. Yet this question to me is disturbing on a much deeper level even than that. What if today you only received what you were thankful for yesterday? It indicates a natural and yet serious flaw in sinful mankind's thankfulness, doesn't it? Because above all of the things, thanksgiving is supposed to be confident. What in the world does that mean? The world tends to look with apprehension at the future. And they think, yeah, you know, nobody likes somebody that's ungrateful, so if I want to keep that going, I better be thankful at least once a year. But it's a view toward the future. That's indicative in the question, isn't it? What if you only got what you were thankful for yesterday? Oh, good question. So I better remember to be thankful for the things so that I get more? Thanksgiving is supposed to be just here and yesterday. The present and the past. Say, look what my God has done for me. O my soul, forget not all his benefits. I will praise you, David says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All you need to begin to appreciate your body is for parts of it to start failing. You don't have pain in pick a part of your body. If you're older, it might be harder to pick one, but if you don't have pain, everything works. You don't have numbness. You don't have any necropathy in any party. You don't, your brain seems to be working okay. You're not disoriented any more than usual. All of these things are from God. And God, for us, wants us to be thankful. The world doesn't think that way. And unfortunately, Christians tend to fall into that also. We don't have that confidence of the future because of the present and past. God has absolutely done so well. Oh, He's given me so much. Did you think about that in the hymn, the second verse of the hymn that we just sang? He who hitherto hath fed me and to many joys hath led me is and ever shall be mine. Do you get that? It's that look past and then that confidence. I have the same God tomorrow as I have today. And the God who blessed me and gave me exactly what I needed and protected me and provided for me, He's going to be my God tomorrow. He who did so gently school me, He who still doth guide and rule me, will remain my help divine. The fact is, God brought us to such an excellent place. Not only have we been given lives of plenty, I don't care how poor you were at one time, we don't lack for food. In fact, our problem is too much food, more than not enough. We go home to warm houses. We flick a switch and electricity lights our world. We can communicate instantly with people across the globe with this little device we can hold in our hands and hold in our hands far too often. What we know from all of this is that the same God who provided all this can be trusted with the future. So true, pure thanksgiving is just here and in the past. To that God, our God, who sent His Son, who gave us His Word, to that God, we say with Paul in Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Let this be our pure, confident song of thanksgiving. Amen. Please rise. And may the peace of God, which surpasses anything man could devise for our salvation plan, may this peace guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
please rise. We continue with our Thanksgiving confession as found printed on the service bulletin insert. These are words adapted from Martin Luther's explanation to the first article. Together we confess. I believe that God has made me and all creatures. He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. He has given me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, cattle, and all my goods. He daily and richly provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He protects me from all danger and guards and preserves me from all evil. And all of this out of pure, fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all of this, I thank, praise, serve, and obey him. Amen. Let us pray. O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us every needful blessing, both in this life and especially for that which is to come. It is your gracious providence that has preserved and sustained us all our lives to this day. In times of sickness, you sustained us. You mended our hearts when we were crushed with grief. You helped us endure our losses and forget what was unpleasant. In all the emergencies which faced us, you were there to help us. Never once were we forsaken. Gracious God, once again, farms and gardens have produced bountiful harvests, filling granaries and pantries across this land. When we consider the abundance of food produced and consumed in our nation, the advanced medical services available to us, the high standard of living to which we have become accustomed, and the freedom from oppression and tyranny that we enjoy, we confess that we are truly living in a blessed land. And still, these are neither the sum total of your blessings nor even the most important. Far greater than these are your benefits for our souls. You have loved us with an everlasting love through Jesus, our Savior. Through him, all sins find perfect forgiveness. Through him, our troubled souls find rest, and our hearts are filled with joy and peace. Lord, you even chose us from eternity to be your own, and through the Holy Spirit called us to faith through your word. To this very hour, the Spirit has worked effectually in us, keeping us true to Christ, preserving that Christian faith within us. Should we then not praise you with our hearts, our souls, our minds, for these and countless other blessings? Should we not bring you our best offering? Should we not strive to live according to your word and will so that you might continue to bless us and that we might glorify your name in all that we say and do? We ask you, help us to never fail to see you as our merciful God, our Savior, our Sanctifier. Help us never to fail to acknowledge that all blessings flow from you. Help us to overcome the greed and selfishness that's so natural to our sinful natures so that we might better recognize the needs of others and learn to be generous in sharing with them your many gifts. Forgive our sins and do not on their account withhold your love or your gifts from us. We ask these things confident that you have forgiven us in Christ, for he is the one who said, "It is finished." And so in his name we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.